We're talking about King Asa today. And I got to thinking about this here. Asa is like kind of like a sneeze. Asa. Yeah. Anyway. So who is King Asa? King Asa is David's great, great grandson. We talked about David a few weeks ago. So this is his great, great grandson. David had Solomon, and Solomon had Rehoboam, and Rehoboam had Abijah, and then Abijah had Asa. Now, let's do a little review. We've been going through the Old Testament kings, which I think is very timely, very productive in this political environment that we're living in right now. To me, because it's important because you're talking about the leaders of Israel. And as you look at the leaders of Israel, God's people today need to know what's God's expectation? What are we looking for? What do we want as Christian people in our leaders? So we're going to look at King Asa today. Before we go to King Asa, we'll review just some of the kings that we talked about. David. Was David a good king or a bad king? Good king. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He was a man after God's own heart. Fully committed to the Lord. Not perfect. Not perfect, but committed. And then we talked about King Solomon. Good king or bad king? He started out strong, didn't he? He started out great. Solomon was awesome. But the Bible emphasized that he married women that he was not permitted to marry. And I try to say it wasn't the fact they were foreign women. It was the fact they were foreign women from the nations, or from the land of Canaanite, from the people of which God said, do not intermarry with these people. And the big reason why is because they bring all their gods with them. And so Solomon, he married these women, and he built places of worship for his wives so they could go worship their foreign gods. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely. And I want to emphasize that right there. He did not follow the Lord. He followed the Lord. He just didn't follow the Lord completely. So is it a big deal if you just don't follow the Lord completely? I mean, for the most part, you're following the Lord, but just not completely. Well, that was Solomon. So we need to examine ourselves. Are we guilty like Solomon? We are following the Lord, just not completely. Another verse in 1 Kings 11, verse 4, his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord. I mean, his heart was devoted to the Lord, just not fully devoted to the Lord. In 1 Kings 11, verse 9, it says, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. His heart had turned away from the Lord. Well, that was Solomon. And Solomon died, and his son took over. His son's name is Rehoboam. Rehoboam, a good king or a bad king? Yeah, bad king. You guys are great at this. And I want to mention, Rehoboam married a woman named he married a woman, all right? And she was an Ammonite, and who cares what her name is, all right? So he marries, and the Bible emphasizes that twice as if that has something to do with why Rehoboam's heart was not sold out to the Lord. Maybe his heart was sold out to his mom's God. Maybe that was a problem. But it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, he did evil because he did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Growing up with a father who sought the Lord and a mother who sought Baal, he did evil. He did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Well, Rehoboam had a son, and we did not talk about his son. And we're not going to talk about him much right now, but I just want to finish the line here. Rehoboam's son's name was Abijah, and his mother's name was Maaca. That doesn't sound right at all. It's something like that, okay? And it's important. It's going to be important in the story here. Abijah's mother, Rehoboam's wife, Maaca. No, that doesn't sound right. But this is what it says about Abijah. I'll just give you this here, and we'll move on. We'll quickly move on. But it says in 1 Kings 15, verse 3, it says, he committed all the sins his father had done before him. That would be Rehoboam. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. And it also says this is in verse 6. I think this is important to bring out. In verse 6, it says, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam throughout Abijah's lifetime.
the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, throughout Abijah's lifetime, there was constant conflict, constant war among God's people. Well, Abijah, he dies, and his son comes to the throne. His son's name is Asa. As I said, he's the great-great-grandson of David. So let's take a guess. Good king or bad king? Okay, let's see. I'll give you this verse right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. So now what do you think? Good king or bad king? That's a great verse. Look at Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. It says in chapter 15, verse 17. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17. Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. That's what it says. I love that verse. Asa is awesome. I love the story about Asa. And another verse, which I want to give you before I move on here, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. So in 14, it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In 15, it says he's fully committed to the Lord. In chapter 16, this verse, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." That's a verse, that's a memory verse. We ought to give that one to the kids tonight in Awanas. That the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Stop right now. Is your heart fully committed to the Lord? Or is it just so-so committed to the Lord? Half and half. Are you fully committed to the Lord? Well, for the most part, we're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let me walk you through the life of Asa here. Let me tell you what's going on here. It begins telling us that this was a time of peace, which is so refreshing after Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all that stuff. And now Asa comes to the throne, and there's peace for 10 years. That's what it says in verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1. Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. And in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. Peace. I asked already, good king or bad king? What does a good king look like? What does a good king look like? What did Asa do that you and I can apply to our life and say, that's what God wants? That's what God is looking for. So let's look at Asa here. And it says in verse 2, I already said this one, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He did what was right. And this is so important. He did what was right, not in his own eyes, because I'm thinking all of us, we do what is right in our own eyes. Half the time we're not right. So how far does that get us? Or we do what is right in other people's eyes. Asa did what was right in God's eyes. It was about what God wanted. And just a little application here. When choosing a leader for our nation, if you want peace, if you want God's blessing, I encourage you to choose somebody who is doing what is right in God's eyes. And good luck with that this year, okay? All right. Moving on. In Asa, another thing he did, Asa removed anything offensive. This is what it says in verse 3. He removed the foreign altar in the high places. He smashed the sacred stones, and he cut down the Asherah poles. All these foreign gods that Solomon had introduced, Asa was cleaning house. He removed the foreign altars. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles. He removed anything that was offensive to God. And number 3 here, this is verse 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord. So we see Asa is somebody who is seeking the Lord, and he's leading his people to seek the Lord. So the most important thing we can do is seek the Lord together. Another thing I would tell you, he was a man of peace, but during this time of peace, the Bible tells us that he prepared for the battles that were to come. Because you know the battles are going to come. It's not always going to be, Wonderland. So he was preparing for the battles. This is what it says in verse 6 and 7. He built up the fortified cities of Judah since the land was at peace. And no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers and gates and bars. So he used this time of rest that God had blessed him with to get prepared. And it was just, God just hit me like a ton of bricks with this verse am thinking, what do you do with the good times that God gives you? Do you squander those good times? Or are you using those times to get yourself ready because you know that Satan's coming after you at some point? I mean, praise God if you're going through a good time right now. Praise God if you're going through a good time for 5 or 10 years. But then something happens, and it just blows you away. And here's the question. Are you prepared? Well, what did you do with that good time? Were you using that time to prepare yourself for the spiritual battle? And how do you prepare yourself for spiritual battle? Are you learning the Word of God? Are you growing strong in your walk with the Lord? Are you seeking Him? Are you depending on Him? Or are you just using this time to drift further and further and further away from God? So there's my fear, because I think we just become complacent. And then we wonder, when the bad times come, where did that come from? Well, you dummy. I mean, don't you know this stuff's going to come? So, okay, number five. I'm sorry I called you dummy. I'm sorry. Number five, Judah prospered. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 7. The land is still ours, it says, because we have sought the Lord our God. And we sought Him, and He gave us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. They built and they prospered. See, there was peace and there was prosperity. And it specifically says because they had sought the Lord. And the Bible tells us to be a people who seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added to you. But seek first His kingdom. That is number one. Number one, it was D.L. Moody. He says if people were true to the first commandment, obedience to the remaining nine would happen naturally. If we just put God in first place in all the decisions that we make, in all that we do. So he did what was right. He removed anything offensive. He led his people to seek the Lord. He prepared for battle, and Judah prospered. And then the Cushites attacked. So it says in verse 9, Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots. Now, vast army, it's about a million people is what it literally is. A thousand thousands is what it says literally. And it talks about this Cushite. I just mentioned this because I read that that's like close to Ethiopia in our Alan and Carrie are here today. And so I'm just saying, maybe you care. Maybe you care. Okay. So anyway, so this guy from close to Ethiopia comes up with a million people to attack Israel. And Asa went out to meet him. And they took up battle positions. So Asa was ready to meet him head on. But before Asa attacks, before Asa tries to defend himself, the very first thing we see Asa do, he calls out to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. Asa called to the Lord. He prayed. So we see a man here. We see a leader of God's people who is a man who seeks God. He's a man who leads other people to seek God. He's a man who prays to God. He cries out to the Lord. This is Asa, and this is his prayer. It says, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. So this is Asa's prayer. And I want you to see Asa's prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. If you take this prayer and you look at this prayer and you see what Asa cried out to God, you see he was sincere. And he was direct. He was directly talking to the Lord his Father. And it was to the point. Help us. I mean, that's all you got to say. Help us. Help us. And it was a confession of faith. We rely on you. It was an acknowledgement of God's ability. That, Lord, there is none like you. You are all powerful. You are awesome. You got this. And it was an acknowledgement of their inability. Lord, we can't do this without you. It's a beautiful prayer. And it was answered. It says in verse 12, the Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. And just to, you know, let's take some time here. Who struck down the Cushites? It was the Lord that struck down. It wasn't Asa. It wasn't Asa's army. It was the Lord. It doesn't give us any details how God did this. You know, what miracles he performed. But God is the one who struck them down. The Lord struck down the Cushites. And the Cushites fled. And Asa and his army pursued them. And it goes on. It says, such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. And they were crushed before the Lord and his forces. the Lord and his forces. Who's God's forces? God's forces were Asa and his people. But Asa and his people belonged to the Lord. They worked for the Lord. They served the Lord. It was the Lord who struck them down, and they were crushed before the Lord and his forces. And the men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder, and they destroyed all the villages around Jair, however you say it, for the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them, and they plundered all these villages since there was so much booty there. That's what it says. The results of what's going on here, the results. Under the leadership of Asa, a man of God, a man who cries out to God, a man who relies on God, their enemies were plundered, and Asa and his people prospered, and Asa and his people had peace. Now, that's the first half of the story, and I want to stop right here because I got a phone call from Alan Montgomery this week asking us to cry out to the Lord with him on behalf of what's going on in Ethiopia right now. So Alan, come up here and give us some details. Because I don't want to just preach a sermon, I want us to practice what we're preaching. And what Asa did, when Asa calls out to God and Asa relies on God, we need to be people who do that. So come on up here.
Good morning, church. I did not know what Pete was preaching this morning, but I'm very struck, especially by this last verse of, Lord, there's no one like you, God, to help the powerless against the mighty, and help us, O Lord, for we rely on you. And that is actually the perfect verse for us as the church to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. My family and I was actually meant to be returning to Ethiopia this week, but we're not going. On August 6th, in our city of Bahardar, there was very large protesting, many thousands of mostly young men in the streets protesting the government. The history of Ethiopia, unfortunately, is much like this history that we're learning of Israel. About every 20 years or so, there's a coup of the government. It's a good thing that happened when I was here. And that was. August has been an unbelievably difficult month for me personally, as I've just been grieving the reality of what's happening right now. In the city of Bahardar, and I know that you're familiar with our story and you're familiar with our work there. You're familiar with these children that we support and love on and care for, and the Grace Center has a staff of over 100 Ethiopians, and right now is an unbelievably difficult and dangerous situation. As a matter of fact, the 19 babies that are in full-time care are now living in my house because it was a safer location than where they were previously. And it's a long, complicated story, but the main point is it's almost like a militarized state there, and we're not hearing anything on the news about it. If you search Bahardar, Ethiopia, you can find and read more about what's going on. But it's basically just a lot of people disgruntled with the current government, and also ethnic tensions playing a part. It's blown me away because how something can happen so fast. I mean, in July was a time of peace, and in August, almost complete chaos has broken out. And it's become so dangerous for these children and for the people of Bahardar because it's really kind of crippling the economy. And what the protesters are basically doing is kind of staying home and not working. And for the common person that lives on a daily wage, you can imagine what the result will be. They don't have any way to survive. And so Grace Center has actually shifted into emergency relief mode. And thankfully, this past week, we were able to purchase a large amount of grain and chickpea powder. to distribute to the beneficiaries. So we're thankful that God is already working miracles and providing. But I want to ask you, church, to pray with my family and I, and to pray for Bahadur as these children and these workers are going through an unbelievably difficult time that it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. And so we're just on our knees every single day asking that God work miracles and take care of these people. So do you want me to pray?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the Lord now. Father God in heaven, you are the Almighty. Father, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, nothing that's happening in our world surprises you. Father, unfortunately, as we watch our world, it almost seems like history is replaying itself. And it's so hard to understand why these things of such immense suffering have to happen. But God, as we learn of King Asa, and we learn of the people that you called out, we know that the common characteristic is that they were fully committed to you, and that they sought you for what is right. Lord, our hearts are heavy and burdened for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia right now. And Father, I just pray that Ethiopia does not become a civil war like we are seeing in other countries, Lord. But God, that you, through the Christians in that country, will work miracles and provide a peaceful resolution to this. Lord, help us, the church, to be aware of what's happening in our world. Lord, help us to be aware of what's happening in our own country. We need you so desperately now, God. And the times are becoming more and more extreme and more dangerous right here and throughout the world. So, Lord, help us to run to you. Help us to seek you. Help us to love our neighbor. And to teach our neighbor that you are the way and the truth and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through you, Jesus Christ. We pray this for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia as well. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
So I ask you to keep Alan and Carrie in your prayers, and keep Ethiopia in your prayers. Maybe study up, find out what's going on there, so we know how to pray. But let's be faithful to cry out to the Lord on their behalf. Asa cried out to the Lord, and it was answered. God answered his prayers, and the people prospered, and the people had peace again. And at this time, we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and there's this prophecy. Ajair, excuse me, I'm going to kill that fly. Hang on. Got it. Okay. All right. So, okay. We might have to edit that out of the sermon. But anyway, so here, the prophecy, Ajair, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 15. The Spirit of God came upon Ajair, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you." Let me stop right there. I want to get back into this here a little bit. What Ajair said to Asa and to the people of Israel. I'm thinking we can learn a lot from this. So don't just think it was for them. Let's see if we can apply this to ourselves here. Asa and Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you.
But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, and he's still talking here, he says, for a long time Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil. And one nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Why? Because they had forsaken him. But as for you, you be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. This is what the prophet told Asa. So Asa heard these words, and it says he took courage. This is what Asa did. Asa heard the words, and he took courage. He heard the word of the Lord, and he responded to the word of the Lord. It says, if you are with God, he will be with you. If you seek him, you will find him. So he took courage, and he removed more offenses. I mean, he's already done this, and now he's finding more things. He's turning to God. He's turning from sin. And it says here in verse 8, he removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. And it goes on. He even deposed his grandmother, Mahaka. He even deposed his grandma because, it says here, because of her position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. And Asa cut the pole down, and he broke it up, and he burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. I mean, he even went after grandma. I mean, who does that? But Asa, I mean, I want you to see here. This is, Asa was devoted to God and was God over family, and it should be God over family. I mean, that's hard for people to hear. That's hard for people to accept, especially hard for grandma to hear. But what the Bible says in Matthew 10, anyone who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, is what God says. Our number one devotion, our number one loyalty is to God our Father. And he made more repairs. He repaired the altar of the Lord. That's what says in verse 8. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. As you see, Asa had a zeal for the house of God. And there was more seeking. I have a verse up here that I want to share with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. Judah entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their hearts and soul. And they took an oath to the Lord with a loud acclamation and shouting with trumpets and horns. And all Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. And so the Lord gave them rest on every side. Man, that's just a beautiful passage right here. Just they seek God, they find God, they have rest. What does it say? They seek the Lord with all of their hearts, with all their soul. They sought God eagerly. There was more rest. Verse 19 says there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. So there's 21 years of peace. He had 10 years of peace, had a short war, and then now he's got 21 more years of peace. And there was more prosperity. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 18, he brought into the temple of God the silver and the gold and the articles that he and his fathers had dedicated. So all this was he took courage, he removed the offenses, he made more repairs, more seeking, more rest, more prosperity. And I want us to just take some time right now, just reflect on the life of Asa. What is it right now? What is it that we can apply to our lives? What is it that we need to be applying to our lives? Let me ask a couple of questions here. Are you with the Lord? Isn't that the prophecy? The Lord is with you when you are with him. You want the Lord to be with you, and I understand you want the Lord to be with you, but are you with him? Are you fully committed to the Lord? This is a lesson of Asa. This is what we need to learn from Asa. Are you fully committed to the Lord? Are you relying on the Lord? Do you rely on him? Or, yeah, I think I said this last week, or is he just a hobby? You know, we just go to the Lord on Sundays and give him about an hour of our time. Or is it a life of relying on God? So we call out to God, we pray to God. And do we have the courage to remove the things that are offensive to God? Asa wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect, but he was blameless. And I understand the difference between being sinless and being blameless. Being blameless means you deal with your sins appropriately. You don't ignore your sins. If you see something in your life that's wrong before God, you take it to God. You repent of that. Let me ask you this. Are you seeking the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul? Have you made a covenant to seek the Lord? Have you thought about making a covenant to seek the Lord? Are you living by that covenant to seek the Lord in prayer and in study and in worship? What does it say? They eagerly sought the Lord. Are you eagerly seeking the Lord? Passionately seeking the Lord? Urgently seeking the Lord? It says in Isaiah 56 or 55, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." So this is Asa. He hears the words of the prophet. He's encouraged. And if you can become more holy, that's what he did. He became more holy. And then he was attacked again. This time it was Israel. The northern kingdom attacked him. It was Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, the king of Judah. And what's Asa do? Asa takes charge. And Asa takes all the silver and the gold. And what does it say? This is verse 2. This is chapter 16, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 2. Asa then took the silver and the gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace, and he sent it to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, and he made a treaty with him. It says, "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between your father and my father." He goes on and says, now "break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad, he agreed with King Asa, and they sent commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel, and they conquered Ajon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah, and he abandoned his work. And what does that mean? It means Asa was victorious. He was victorious. He made a treaty with Ben-Hadad, and there was victory. But something's missing. What's missing from the story? Where's the prayer? You're supposed to pray here, Asa. You're supposed to cry out to the Lord, and God's going to do something awesome. God's going to do something glorious here. But there's no record of Asa crying out to the Lord. There's no indication that Asa was relying on the Lord in this situation. He took matters in his own hands. And Hanani, the seer, this is what it says in verse 7. "At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you relied on King Aram, the king of Aram, and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered you. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him.'" You see, what it's telling me, the Lord is looking for someone to deliver. The Lord is looking for someone to bless. The Lord is looking for someone to save. The Lord loves to do that. He loves to come to your rescue when you cry out to him. But if you don't cry out to him, if you're not committed to him, you won't see God's glory. You won't see God's hand in your life. You won't see nothing. And he goes on. Let me read this again here. You rely, it was to say, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You, Asa, have done a foolish thing. And from now on, you will be at war." So what's the results? What's going on here? The results, basically, Hanani the seer, he says, "Asa, you messed up. Asa, you didn't rely on God. Asa, you sought help from Aram, not God. And you relied on man, not God. You made a treaty with a nation that you were prohibited to make a treaty with." So in Deuteronomy 7, it says, "Make no treaty with them. Show no mercy to them." And you did it. And you know this word. You know this law. Why did you turn your back on God? Asa, you're not committed to God. Asa, you have acted foolishly. Asa, you will be at war from now on. No more peace. No more peace. Verse 10. How does Asa respond? You would think at this point, I mean, wouldn't you think Asa would fall to the ground? and cry out to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. But that's not what Asa does. Asa was angry with the seer because of this. And he was so enraged that he put the seer in prison. And this is the first recorded time in history that a prophet of God was treated like this. At the time, Asa brutally oppressed some of his people. What's going on here? Asa becomes angry. He lashes out at a man of God. He brutally oppresses his people. And we get to verse 12. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12, talking about Asa's feet. Let's talk about Asa's feet for a minute. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. And I read this verse, and I don't know what really would do, you know, what do you do with this verse? But it reads like a rebuke to me. It's not a bad thing that he consulted the doctors, but he didn't consult God at all. He didn't go to God at all. And the heart of God is for us to seek him. The heart of God is for us to rely on him. In times of peace, in times of war, in times of prosperity, in times of sickness, God is asking us to rely on him. So I'm asking you, do you rely on God? Do you rely on God? Yeah, look at this. What happened to Asa? And I don't know, I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, the question that just goes through my head, what happened? Why did this happen? Why did Asa spend the first 36 years of his reign seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord, living for the Lord, fully committed to the Lord, blessed by the Lord? And then the last five years, he turns to man instead of God for help. Asa was one of Judah's best kings, but he failed, as did all the kings. And one lesson I have here for you, do not put your hope in man. Don't put your hope in man. We will all fail you. You will fail somebody. We are just human beings. The lesson here, when we seek God, when we turn from evil, when we rely on God, we will be victorious. Trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, when you live a lifestyle of trusting in the Lord, you will see peace and you will see prosperity. It sounds like a health and wealth gospel. I'm sorry about that. But that's what the text is telling me here, is there's peace and prosperity when we rely on God. And when we live by the ways of the world, when we ignore the word of God, when we put our trust in man instead of God, when we trust in man, there will be restlessness and ruin. So where are you putting your trust? Because I recognize it's natural for us to follow man. It's natural. It's natural for us to put our trust in man. And I recognize it's hard for some people to truly trust in God. You can't see him. You know, how do you know? How do you know to rely on him and to trust in him? But I'm begging you right now, this is what the scriptures is teaching us. This is what it's telling us. You put your trust in God. You seek God. I've got some verses down there on the bottom of your outline, some homework for you. I want to give you some homework here. I want you to be intentional about reading these verses this week. It says in Romans 12, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, not just for the first 36 years of your lives, but for your whole life. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. It says in Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Then let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not give up. And we're living in a world today where people are giving up, and people are turning away from God, and people are turning away from the church. Let us not give up. In Mark chapter 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. James 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So I want to ask, I'm going to take this time right now. We're going to cry out to the Lord once again, just for our lives and for what's going on in our lives and for what's going on in our nation, for what's going on in our world. Let's take some time right now. Let's be people who rely on God. To your
to